الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله.
الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا نهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله غافر الذنوب جميعها إلا الشرك به. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد خاتم الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين وعلى آله وعلى صحبه وعلى التابعين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the one who has created us, the one who has put life in us, the one who owns life, and the only one who has the right to take this life away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Almighty Allah who has revealed the messages to mankind, who has appointed the messengers and the prophets to guide mankind, and who has created this earth for mankind to serve Him on, to make it a better place to live, to make it a better place to enjoy, to make it a better place to realize dreams and make them come true. Dreams to enjoy what's right and forbid what's wrong. And we thank Him subhanahu wa ta'ala who has revealed the Holy Quran, in which He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. And never cause mischief on earth after earth has been put in order in the best of all shapes. وَدُعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. And make a dua to Allah to seek the support of Allah in respect and obedience to Allah and in fear of making Allah unhappy with us. وَطَمَعًا. And in hope that we can get what we aspire to get from Him, الرزاق, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Why? إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ.
The mercy of Allah, the gifts of Allah are indeed close to those who excel in serving Allah on earth and in knowing the real meaning of worshiping
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And we thank Allah who has created land on earth and water bodies on earth, the oceans, the seas, the rivers, and the lakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him who has created the phenomenon of evaporation. So these water bodies would evaporate into vapor and coalesce into clouds. And we thank Him for sending the winds to move the cloud from one location to another, to make the clouds heavier so they can carry more water, and to make the clouds collide such that rain is formed, and to make the rain fall in a special, specific area so life can be created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
وهو الذي يرسل رياح بشرا بين يدي رحمته. And it is He who sends the winds as a sign of glad tidings, but controlled by His mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حتى إذا أقلت سحابا ثقالا سقناه لبلد ميت فأنزلنا به الماء فأخرجنا به من كل الثمرات. And the winds would carry with it the clouds, which gets heavier and heavier in its water content. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سُقْنَاهُ. He drives the clouds using the winds to a place which is dead, like the desert, or even a good fertile land but doesn't have water, exactly like Los Angeles, which suffers from a water shortage all the time. And we get 70% of our water from the Colorado River and the aquifer under earth. And He Almighty sends the rain so He can put life in this fertile land.
And Allah says, كَذَلِكَ نُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ.
This is how we bring life from death, so that you can reflect and remember that after you die, indeed, you will be resurrected to be judged on the Day of Judgment. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, in my previous khutbah, we talked about the year 1419, the new Hijri year. And we talked that the Hijri year does not signify the birth of a prophet. Astaghfirullah. Does not signify a national occasion, but it signifies an important event in the history not only of the Muslims, but the history of mankind, and that's the event of immigrating from Mecca to Medina to establish the first ever prototype Muslim Ummah in Yathrib, and to make it a model that captured the imagination of millions and now billions of people who say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And we said that the Muslim year ends with the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the month of pilgrimage to Mecca, and the month in which those who can afford doing Hajj, they should do so. And we said that the process of Hajj is the process of burying the past, all the bad deeds, to start fresh again with a new, dedicated, well-defined goal, and that's the goal of being a member, a real member of the Ummah of La Ilaha Illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. We fix our relations, we pay our debts, we settle everything, and we go for Hajj, hoping that when we come, inshaAllah, we'll never fall in the sin or the error again. And we said, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that the good news that we should thank Allah for is that in our generation, my previous generation, used to wait until they are 60 years and 65 years, and they would travel for Hajj, hoping that they would cleanse their sins, preparing to die. Today, the next generation is looking at it differently. They go for Hajj at an average age of 25 to 30, not to prepare to die, but to prepare to live, to prepare to make a difference in this world, and indeed, inshallah, they will change the world to a world that believes in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. About two umrahs before, I was in Medina, and I saw a number of young men and young women at the age of 15 and 16 and 17. I asked them, "Where are you from?" They said, "We are from Turkey." And I said, "What are you doing here in the month of January?" They said, "We are spending our mid-year in Mecca and in Medina." And I said, "Allahu Akbar," because times have changed. And the next generation, inshaAllah, will bring Islam closer and closer to become a reality, a system that will be put in practice, inshaAllah, Rabbil Alameen. And we said that the most important event in the history of the world and the history of the Muslims was Hijrah. And the history of the individual, أن تهجر ما نهاك الله عنه, that you leave behind what Allah has forbade you from doing. And the Hijrah itself, the immigration, has made a difference in this world, because if you look at all the civilization of mankind, from the most ancient of all, the Egyptian civilization, to the most recent of all, the American civilization, including, of course, the most of all civilizations, the Islamic civilization, you will find that they all started with immigration. And if you study the Holy Quran, you will find a verse that will touch your heart, which tells you that you should never ever allow yourself to be enslaved. You should never allow yourself to be oppressed. And the verse says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, يَوْمَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. When the angels come to you, asking you after you die, what happened to you? What is the matter with you? How come you practice injustice against your own self? قَالُوا فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ. What happened to you? The response would be, كُنَّا مُسْتَضَعْفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We were oppressed on this earth. People were oppressing us, were practicing injustice against us. So the angels come back to remind us, قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. What happened to you? Haven't you seen this whole earth? How vast it is? How much resources are available for you so you can immigrate in it? And the point is, if you cannot make it in Los Angeles, you can make it in San Francisco or Sacramento. If you cannot make it in California, you can make it in New York. If you cannot make it in America, you can make it in Africa. If you cannot make it in Africa, you can make it in Asia. If you don't make it in Asia, you can make it in the ocean, on the seas. But never sit there. Allow people to enslave you and take advantage of you. And one promise from Allah. If you immigrate fi sabilillah, فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And you die, your edge, your reward is the responsibility of Allah. You will die as a shaheed, as a martyr. Can you believe that? All the facilities and the promises are given to us such that we should never allow ourselves to be enslaved and to be oppressed and to take things against our will. And that is the real essence, the real meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Was it really believing in wahdaniyat Allah, in the oneness of Allah, we will know for sure that our life does not come from an oppression, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That our risk does not come from those who pay us, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will make you the most liberated, most honored person in your community. And because of this, you will respect everyone that Allah has created, because you know that he or she are the unique creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also talked about a very important event in the Hijrah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, the city of Medina's name was Yathrib. And its name was changed to Al-Madina, the city of all cities. Why? Because it was the city in which the first ever constitution known to mankind, defining equal rights, defining equality of all races and people, regardless of their national background, ethnic background, religious background, came to the world, and it came to the city to define the civilization, to bring to the world the prototype of the ummah of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And the first thing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did when he arrived at Medina, the city of all cities, he built the masjid. Not only to pray, but to arbitrate in a court position. Not only to act as a court, but for social activities and for all what is needed by the community, including education. That was the role of the masajid. And we tell all the Muslims of today who say that we don't have funds for a school system, we tell them you have the system intact, waiting to be used, called the masjid. If we ever bring the concept of madrasa again to the life of the Muslims. And in Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established the foundation of the free market system. The first morning after he slept in Medina, he woke up and he asked, "Where do you do your trading?" They pointed to a market and they said, "This is the market of Bani Qaynaqa. هذا سوق بني قينقاع حيث نشتري فيه ونبتاع." He turned his back to the market, which was a manipulative market, and he pointed to a vacant piece of land and he said, "This is the market of the Muslims. Whoever comes earlier, he or she have all the freedom to trade." And in Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced a very unique thing. As you know, when the Muslims started praying, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started praying, they never prayed towards the Kaaba. When the Prophet was asked, "Why are you praying towards Jerusalem?" The Prophet reacted by saying, "This is the Kaaba, which is the first house ever built by man to worship Allah, but it is filth by the idols and by the practices of those who disbelieve in Allah. And the closest to monotheism is Christianity and Judaism, and they are in control of Jerusalem, and that's why I am facing Jerusalem." 1 year and a quarter after Hijrah, the Prophet received the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change the direction of namaz of salah from Jerusalem to Mecca, signaling the first signal to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to start planning and preparing to conquer Mecca and to bring it in the fold of those who say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And until today, Jerusalem is an important part of the Muslim creed, the Muslim aqidah, because it is the place that was honored from the time of Adam, from the time of Ibrahim, and most importantly, from the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being the place where we have the Dome of the Rock, being the place we have Al-Aqsa Mosque. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored this place in a very important event just before immigration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet had the most difficult year in his life in Mecca before he immigrated, he lost his wife, Sayyidah Khadija. He lost his uncle. And the revelation stopped from being revealed. And the Prophet thought that he has done something that made Allah upset at him. And then he was given the greatest gift of all. He was caused to travel from Mecca to Jerusalem in a matter of no time compared to the traveling time at that time. And from Jerusalem he was caused to ascend through the seven heavens to have a hearing with Allah. And in this hearing, the most important act of a Muslim was ordained, and that is as-salah, the prayers. And the word yasl is the origin from which the word salah was derived. If you want to connect with Allah, then you pray. And that is another important thing that ties Jerusalem with Mecca and ties them both to the prayers of each and every one of us. And I say this, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, because today we hear a lot about Jerusalem. Because today the Speaker of the House of the United States has gone to celebrate 50 years of the so-called Jerusalem being free. And in his speech at the Knesset, he said, in conclusion, impromptu, we did not write it for him. He said, if you look 100 years back, Jerusalem was in the hands of the Ottomans. But today, 50 years, it is in the hands of the Israelis. I was watching it and I said, who knows? Maybe the next 100 years, it will come back to those who believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, if and only if they are qualified to manage it. And I say this, brothers and sisters in Islam, because we know that Jerusalem was conquered a number of times. And we know that Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, the second Khalifa, went to open it up for everybody. And the Archbishop of the Church of Jerusalem at the time, receiving him walking next to his camel and his horse, could not believe that this is the Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen. He was very simply dressed, very simple man. And he said, here is the key of the city, and come and pray in my church. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, no, I cannot pray in the church because I don't want to give any wrong signals to anybody that we are in the business of converting Christians or converting churches into masajid, into mosques. And we should remind people of this. Because until today, you go to France, southern France especially, you will find churches with the inscriptions of the Quran on its walls, which used to be masajid and they were converted into churches. You go to Cordoba, you go to Alhambra, you go to many, many places, including Hungary and Bulgaria. But we Muslims are not in the business of converting churches or synagogues into places of worship for the Muslims. We are in the business of building a new system, a new house for Allah. And it's open and free for those who choose to come by choice to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the crusaders came. And I don't know if you know this or not, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, but nowadays one of the most popular breakfast food is called the crescent rolls, in French called the croissant. And when you read the history of the crescent rolls, this was the food prepared by the crusaders to sell it, to fundraise, to finance the crusaders' wars against the Muslims, because the crescent is the crescent of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We say this to remind you, not of hate, not to hate anybody, because وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Nobody carries the burden of somebody else. But we remind you of this to remember. So you should not sleep and you should prepare. Jerusalem was taken by the crusaders, but then it was conquered by a man more than 100 and some years later. His name is Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi. And he was a Kurdistani from Kurdistan. And I say these things for a number of reasons. Today, the Kurdish brothers and sisters are fighting with each other, fighting with Turkey, fighting with Iraq, and Iraq is fighting with them, and Turkey is fighting with them, because in Islam, we honor you as a Kurd, we honor you as an Arab, we honor you as an American, we honor you as a Latino, as long as you say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. But the minute nationalism is injected in, that is when fighting between people comes, and it becomes very counterproductive. Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi fell sick one day when he heard that the crusaders attacked 4 ships of Egyptian pilgrimages in the sea, at sea, close to a port city called Rabaa in Saudi Arabia today, is a major refining center, and they killed all the Hajjis from Egypt at that time. And he made a prayer to Allah and a promise that if he ever gets cured, that he will go to Egypt and he will fix that situation to never allow it to happen again. And indeed he was cured and he went to Egypt. And listen to what he did. In 13 years, he started first with building the hospital and healthcare system of Egypt. And he built the most sophisticated healthcare system. Why? Because if you let every individual know that he or she are important and honorable and their health is important, they will know that this is the place that we should defend. And he did it. And in 13 years' time, he built the strongest flotilla of ships on the Mediterranean Sea. And indeed, he conquered Jerusalem. Not only this, and this is the aspect that I need each and every one of us to remember. He planned to get into Jerusalem on a Jum'ah day, on a Friday. Not only this, but he planned to give a khutbah from the minbar on Friday, and the khutbah that he delivered, the speech that he delivered, was prepared for him in Damascus by his grandparents 82 years before. And I say this because I want to ask, do we have a plan like this? Do we have a khutbah prepared to be delivered at Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa 100 years from today? And I wish and pray that the answer is yes, inshaAllah Rabbil Alameen. And I say this because I am reminded by my own ears in 1965 in Egypt where I was born. I was listening to the radio, and there was an interview with a lady by the name of Zainab al-Ghazali, a Muslim activist woman. And she had just come back from Jerusalem. And she was asked, what's your impression? She said, I am very worried, and I cried at Al-Aqsa Mosque. And she was asked, why? She She said, because I went to Fajr prayers at Al-Aqsa Mosque, and there were only a handful of people praying there. And I'm afraid that because we forgot Al-Aqsa Mosque, it will be taken away from us. Until we know the value of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, then we'll get it back, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. 1967. How many years? 31 years ago. Al-Aqsa Mosque was taken from the Muslims. And many, many attempts to burn it down, to destroy it, have been done. And I appeal to you, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, every time you go back to your home country, especially those who are carrying the American passport, every time you go home to your country, every time you go to Hajj, make it part of your plans to visit Jerusalem, to pray in Al-Aqsa Mosque, to take your children with you, so that when we die, Jerusalem will never die, and Al-Aqsa Mosque will always be the mosque of all the Muslims. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه الأعلى المولى ونعم المنصير. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وتب علينا.